The Roundtable on WAMC, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Fear not, he'll be back at some point, I guess, a week after the Fun Drive. The Fun Drive starts, by the way, on Monday. And then...
Wait, Joe's taking the Fun Drive off? Oh, no, allowed this?
No. Joe will be back on this program after the Fun Drive. He'll be here in his chair on Monday about 10 a.m.
He's bulking up for the Fun Drive now.
That's right. Well, it's time for the Roundtable panel today. Joining us... our own Alan Lockbox Shartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
You just call me LB.
All right, LB. Associate Editor Mike Spain of the Albany Times Union. Nice to have you here, Mike.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Rosemary Armeo, who's been here an unprecedented number of consecutive days, University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter.
I'm always happy to be here. When does the streak end?
That's what I want to know.
She was out for the tooth the other day, right? Monday?
Tooth problems.
You had a tooth?
Tomorrow, I'm off, yes. And then you have your, I'm not here during the Fun Drive.
No. So. We expect you here during the Fun Drive.
Yeah. Everybody picks
if nothing else, to get Alan a cup of coffee or just give him a pat on
the back.
I can do that. All right. By the way, if you would like to complain, the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. roundtable@wamc.org. Alan has his device here, and he will read your email if they are relatively free of profanity. All right. So let's start the show. Now, you know, the Prez is going to be at West Point. Right the here. World in various places is crumbling, and yet the big news
is
the bear.
What?
The bear.
What do you think the big news was?
The lockbox, which we haven't talked about
next
yet.
Next to the bear.
And we are getting very, very close. We're within like $60,000.
Yeah.
But we only have about 4 or 5 days to go, and we may not make it, and we might not get the 20. Come on now, folks. I want you to imagine you're trying to stuff $25,000 into your wallet. Yeah. You can't do it. This is a lot of money going a long way towards running WMC.
Okay,
really
so for those who have not heard, so this 25 large to which you refer it is a challenge put up by an anonymous fellow
from Connecticut. First time he loves the idea, Ray, of doing it in a in the Fun Drive, but in the lockbox. Yes,
okay,
that's
so
first time.
Basically, when this started, somewhat. I don't know, about a month ago.
Yeah.
We had to hit the 325 threshold at the lockbox to get this extra 25,000.
Yeah, I'm really worried.
Okay, we're at about, we'll find out from our Fun Drive people where we are a little later in this show, but we have about 60 some odd thousand to go.
Yeah, which is not that much when you consider that we make $100,000 every single day during the regular Fun Drive. So if everybody just says, okay, you know, there are those people who are going to say, I love the Fun Drives because I'm a big community builder. I believe it's a time for us to talk to each other and the rest of it. But for those people who say, I don't like the Fun Drives, and there are a few of them, then those people could go directly to the lockbox and say, I'm committed. I'm doing this. And I want to put something in. And I want to support all the things that you support and that you're doing for us. Just the other day, I saw a guy who was asking me to put his people on the round table one more time. And then I just looked him up and he wasn't there. So just everybody should put a little something in.
Right.
And then we're there.
And one does that by going to WAMC.org.
What, Mike?
I just wondered if somebody wanted to have the thrill of the Fun Drive and getting a crank radio or some device.
You can do that.
Can they do that?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And still participate in the
lockbox?
But the
big thing that you can do is get a personal mug with your name on it, and 2 weeks later you'll be married. But
we're still married for some people.
Or you can have somebody else. Let's say you have an unwed son who you want. See what I did there? Who you want to get married? Then you put his name on it.
Right.
Or, you know,
the most popular name, oddly enough, is Sheldon E. That's very interesting. Personalized.
No, the most popular name in America now is Noah.
Is it really?
It is. It's the number one name in America, which is the name of my little...
Okay, on to the news here.
But wait, I just want to say one more thing.
You're wound up now. Now, the Fun Drive doesn't start till Monday, Alan. Don't expend all the energy.
Yeah, but I want to say one more little thing.
All right.
For all those people who come up to me in the street and say, why does the Fun Drive last so long? I said, did you put anything into the lockbox? And they go...
Everybody. All right, so getting back to this story
that
came over the scanner yesterday, and I said, what?
Wait,
it's
what?
A bear. It's in Albany. Where is it now? Mike Spain from the TU, please fill us in.
Well, we have reporters on the scene.
Okay.
Kate Seckinger, who is a great summer intern at the Times Union, is there with our photographer Skip Dickstein. And the latest report is that the black bear that bolted up the tree after authorities from the Department of Environmental Conservation shot at it.
Which is where? Where did this happen?
This happened in the city of Albany in off Whitehall Road.
Okay, yeah.
Off Rose Court. Yeah. In a tree behind a house off Rose Court.
Gotcha.
The bear has now moved about 15 feet down the pine tree this morning, and it appears to be sleeping.
Oh.
Now, conservation officers spread a net under the tree, and they're waiting for the animal to be closer to the ground, and then they're going to try to use a tranquilizer gun.
Where did the bear come from?
Well, they believe it came from the Catskills, came up through Del Mar, through the town of Bethlehem. It was seen out by Exit 23, where they're going to build the new casino, possibly.
Right.
Getting ready.
Coming in to the city yesterday morning about 6:30, and yesterday some people we talked to in our story this morning were hearing shotguns go off.
No.
Environmental conservation officers were coming through the neighborhood trying to catch the bear. Now, the bear...
Wait a minute. If they're shooting, that's not exactly what they're doing, right?
Mm.
If they're shooting it, they're not exactly trying to catch it.
Yes, that's correct. This bear has already committed two crimes and come too close to neighborhoods. They tag a bear, and it has a couple of tags on its ear. They can see that. And it is deemed dangerous. So at least yesterday, the policy would be that this is a bear that is comfortable around people that will come back. They take these bears way out in the middle of the Catskills, and they come all the way back. Happened just last year at the University of Albany.
Bear came back the very next day.
Bear came back, and they destroyed the bear.
So are they going to kill this bear?
Well, they had first said that they were going to do it. Some people said that that's the wrong approach. So this
little
morning,
kids are out there with signs, aren't they?
Kids have signs that said save the bear.
I don't know. You know, in the Berkshires, where real people live, we have a bear. A bear comes around all the time.
Yeah?
Everybody takes pictures of the bear. Bear comes up to our metal thing that holds the bird feeder and makes a pretzel out of it. Leaves it on the ground. But the bear, nobody, you know, one day I was out at my favorite public market in West Stockbridge as I go through there.
Yeah.
And I look across the street, there's a police officer with a lot of people looking up, and I inquisitively go a little too close, and he starts to yell at me that I'm too close. And there's the bear up on the mama bear right up on the tree. What is all this fuss about? I don't get this.
When a bear comes too close to populated areas, it indicates that they're very comfortable in those populated areas.
And, so?
And people might come close to them, and if something goes wrong,
yeah,
the bear could swipe at them or get startled
animals,
or gets hit by a car and becomes angry and injured.
We are in their habitat.
Yeah.
However, I don't feel the same way about snakes.
Yeah.
Well, we had a story today about a snake. It turned out it was a python, a ball python.
Yes,
that was found in a nature preserve, the Plotterkill, in Schenectady County in the town of Rotterdam.
Off
of Mariahville Road. A family from Schenectady was hiking on Memorial Day and practically stepped on it.
30-inch python.
Wow.
And it turns out authorities believe it was probably released. It was a pet that got too big, and they said, oh, we'll let it go in the wild.
The Everglades are filled with them.
Oh, yes. They survived down there, and there's bounties for them down there.
Yeah.
But this one probably
this
won't last long.
Did you ever see a bear leading a donkey?
No.
Okay. Oh, boy.
No, but I'll bet you would in Florida at Disney World or something like
is there,
that.
Is there a punchline here, or should we
there
go to a break?
You've got to figure it out for yourself.
Oh, can you even say it on the radio?
No.
All right. I tell you what, Hopper, let's take a break. What an odd program this is. It's the Roundtable. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Rhinebeck Kitchen and Bath, with locations in Rhinebeck and Coxsackie, offering design, project management, and installation throughout the Hudson Valley since 1997, rhinebeckkitchenandbath.com. Capital Cities Imported Cars, Glenmont, New York, offering new and pre-owned BMWs and Volkswagens, serving the WAMC listening area since 1975, capitalcitiesvw.com. Subsidium Technologies, working to help enterprises use custom communications and cloud services to help improve information technology environments, subsidiumtech.com. And Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, InterimHealthcare.com.
22 minutes after 9 o'clock, it's the Roundtable. It's been an odd program. We've talked about loose bears and whatnot. The email is roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. We're joined by Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Shartok. I'm Ray Graff. Alan, we have an email.
We do, from Toni, one of our regular correspondents. She's very good. I'm assuming it's a she, T-O-N-I. As Stephen Colbert, C-O-L, capital B-E-A-R.
Nice.
As Stephen Colbert says, bears are man-killing machines. I have no love for man-killers, and she has titled her missile, Kill the Bear, It's Eat or Be Eaten. Mm. That's what she said.
Well, very interesting. Anything else? Okay.
No.
So, President Obama will be at West Point this morning, and the show is perhaps even more discombobulated than usual today because we will be carrying the president's address at the 216th commencement at West Point this morning. Should maybe 10:10 or so.
Wow, yeah.
We'll find out. But the president expected to talk about Afghanistan. You saw the news yesterday, this from the New York Times, President Obama declaring that it was time to turn the page on a decade in which so much of our foreign policy was focused on the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Announced on Tuesday that he planned to withdraw the last American troops from Afghanistan by the end of 2016. This, by the way, quoting from the New York Times, under a new timetable outlined by Mr. Obama in the Rose Garden, the 32,000 American troops now in Afghanistan would be reduced to 9,800 after this year, and then cut in half by the end of next year, and by the end of 2016, only a vestigial force, an appendix, if you will.
I like it, Ray.
Alan.
Well, no. I mean, I think that the president deserves a great deal of credit for this. I mean, he came into office and he said, you know, he was going to do this. And he has basically done it. Now, it's so interesting in this country as we send our boys and our women off to war and they come back maimed and hurt and all the rest. You just wonder why, when a president has achieved something of this magnitude, he doesn't get the credit that he's entitled to. More than I can bear.
Rosemary, you
well,
you're,
I don't give him credit.
Askance.
He did promise this. He promised it in his first term, which, except for some very good luck, he might not even have had the second term in which to do it. He's right. Our policy in Afghanistan and in Iraq has totally tied our hands. It has made us less flexible and less able to move in places we need to, including the Pacific and along the Soviet Union. This is long overdue. And I really don't think that 10,000 troops almost is a small force. We
yeah,
still
but why
have
don't
lots
you give
of
him
people.
Credit?
Credit for what? He promised to do this, and it's taken him 6 years to do it.
Okay.
How many thousands of deaths? No, I don't think it's great at all. It's long overdue.
Let's take that point before we get to Mike's comment on this. Let's take that point that he waited 6 years. Could it be, is it possible that the president, who had his intentions stated, and let's take him at face value in this first term to get all the troops out, could it be that once he was apprised of everything, all the intelligence and everything else said, well, we're going to have to take more time with this.
I have heard that stated very often in this program. I do not subscribe to the belief that the president knows more than we do and therefore we accept
really?
It. Really? I mean,
he doesn't know more than we do.
What is it in the intelligence that would say we really need American troops there that we can't hear about? What?
I'm not in the intelligence.
And when you talk about as long as you're taking that tack, I believe is the right word, Raymond. Let's remember that George Bush sent in. He was the president then. Remember that he sent a lot of people into Iraq.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
Did we know more than him? He or did he know more than we?
No, I just watched the Rachel Maddow special. Why we did it, a documentary that it's not new ground, but it goes over exactly how we were led down that little primrose path. So probably I'm not in a great mood to hear about trust the president.
Iraq. Yeah, this
she
is
was,
Afghanistan.
But it's the two are connected. The two are very much connected.
I have to wonder, if we had never gone into Iraq and that whole mistake had not happened, if we had concentrated on trying to democratize Afghanistan, which we went into in October of 2001, I mean, just a month after 9/11, if we had focused on that instead of sort of being distracted with that major terrible war in Iraq, if the outcome might have been better and we might have left this country in better shape. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's any better off than it is. I mean, the Taliban is still there. It seems like a third world country still. It's not like we went in there and built it.
You know? No, we have nothing to be proud of.
I mean, we're not leaving much of a legacy.
How many times in history has this exact scenario happened?
Britain, Soviet Union,
right.
Yeah.
Well, Britain would leave behind its call. I mean, look at India. I mean, you know, Britain stayed in India a long time, and they have embraced democracy.
No, but in Afghanistan.
Not in Afghanistan.
This is a place where imperialists go
right.
to
we're just the latest
be slapped
big
in the face.
Imperialist country.
I wonder what the difference between India and Afghanistan is.
Well, much more sophisticated, much more educated, much bigger, much, you know.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Well, India had more that resources. Great Britain wanted, resources, exactly.
Sure.
So they invested in it. Mm-hmm.
What are you driving at, Alan?
Nothing.
Okay.
Figure it out for yourselves.
All right. If you can figure it out, the email address is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. And a minute here to go. White House now investigating the inadvertent naming of the CIA officer. I heard
Amazing.
You guys talking about
Amazing
this yesterday.
Story.
This was
yeah.
from the Washington Post. The Obama administration said Tuesday it'll seek to determine how the identity of the CIA's top spy in Afghanistan was exposed in an embarrassing slip by the White House press office during President Obama's surprise visit to the country on Sunday. For a gentleman who is trying to make nice with the public and make nice with the intelligence community, not a really good happenstance.
This is a major error. I love the role of the Washington Post, too. They were made into the distributor of this information. Scott Wilson, who is their foreign correspondent, really fine reporter, is the pool reporter. So he gets the list of who the president will be meeting and talking with and distributes it to all the other press, you know, to everybody who would want. And there's the CIA. Well, he's identified as chief of party.
Well, this has got to put fear into every CIA operative out there. I mean, for example, I know you're not, but you're always traveling for the United States.
I'm not.
Oh,
no, I have no fear.
Oh,
I have no fear. No.
So, you know, somebody put your name inadvertently on a list.
We don't know what happened to the CIA operative now. Was he recalled from there? Does he have a change in assignment? You might think
it
that might
like
be necessary. Yeah.
It might be time for a desk job in Washington.
And the thing I was going to say, and after then distributing his name everywhere, the Washington Post has not actually used its name in anything it's printed. It runs a little note saying the White House has asked us not to use his name.
Now that it's out of the bag to all our rival intelligence.
And one would have to assume that some of the bad guys, in the way we use that term, probably knew who the station chief was.
Yeah, I think that's probably.
All right, folks, we'll take a break here. It's the bottom of the hour. We'll get some news and back with the second half of our roundtable panel. The email address, once again, roundtable@wamc.org. Back on the other side of the news. Mr. Hoffer, that's some lovely bumper music. Hey, it's the roundtable. We're known mainly for our bumper music and also this panel. It's 9:36 on a Wednesday morning, last Wednesday before the big fun drive, which starts June 2nd.
Lockbox.
And Alan, Lockbox, Shartok, we will have an update on the Lockbox coming up, sir.
Oh, boy.
So we will hold off on that. But right now we have some letters at roundtable@wamc.org. What do you have, sir?
Well, Russell says, just heard on the roundtable, I so disagree. We are needed in the Pacific, in the Ukraine as well, heard of Vietnam. We are not needed to spread democracy, in quotes. Example, 90% of the people in Japan are against the nuclear plants going back online. It is our government which has insisted that these plants go back online. Who needs help with democracy? Respectfully, from Russell.
I didn't say to help with democracy there. I said to protect our own interests in Ukraine and in the Pacific. Yeah, that's a very good point. No, I don't.
Spoken
I
like a running
you.
Dog imperialist. Well
okay.
done.
Yeah, really. No, I don't believe we should get involved there either.
Okay.
And Tony, different Tony with a Y this time. Hi, all. Please don't read out listeners' falsehoods without setting them right on the facts. Black bears are not man-killing machines, as someone just fatuously
that
stated.
Was a joke.
That was a letter. That was a letter.
A letter.
They
I think
are
she was
essentially
quoting.
Harmless omnivores. Their diet is mainly vegetarian, but because they will eat anything, they can become nuisances if they are attracted to one's garden. Garbage is a regular source of food. Their size makes them appear threatening when they are anything but. Pretty much the only way to engage black bears in active aggression is to get between the mother bear and the cubs. And that is all factual, and I suspect you all know it.
to,
capital T-O, allow the last word to someone. We're not allowing the last word. We're reading your letter to someone who advocates genocide on animals whose natural habitat we have invaded, your point, Rosemary, and keep stripping back is more akin to something I'd expect on certain 24-hour cable TV channels.
I don't think anyone here was suggesting
Nobody
that.
Said anything like it. I said that we coexist with them in the Berkshires. Rosemary talked about invading their habitat. Why do people hear what they hear? I mean, I don't get that.
But the thing is, that was based on a letter that was quoting a tongue-in-cheek bit by Stephen Colbert.
Yeah,
so
Colbert.
Sometimes you get lost in trends. Now, with some sad news to report, actually, just breaking.
Well, there are more letters.
Yeah, it's just breaking.
Yeah, we'll do some more letters in a minute, but just wanted to let our listeners know that Maya Angelou has passed.
Yeah, the Chicago Tribune died in North Carolina at age 86. Wow. We've known she's been ill for several days. She's been canceling appearances for, it's odd. It's been described as an mysterious illness or an unexpected ailment, but she's gone.
Well, 86 is a bit good run, don't you think?
86 is a good run.
Yeah.
And we will, of course, have much more on this throughout the day.
Okay, so then, well, this one won't come up, so I don't know what that means, so therefore we're not going to read it. Okay, our friend Jeannie, who's a board member here, to bring back the snake phobia thought of earlier. It is a grim fact that more than 20,000 Burmese pythons are inhabiting the Everglades in Florida. I made that point. Endangering the tiny key deer, who are rare enough, eating birds large and small and demolishing nests to eat the eggs, even killing alligators who are presumably at the top of the food chain there. The problem has reached crisis proportions. 20-foot-long snakes are seen along the Tamiami Trail.
Yeah.
The corridor between Miami and Tampa on the West Coast. Tourism handled by the native tribes such as the Miccosukee is threatened.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, right. Is threatened as so many are afraid of encountering these huge creatures from airboats. Maybe the National Guard should step in or troops home from war. Genie.
They had a roundup 2 years ago where they paid
a bounty,
as you said, and sent in hunters with guns to shoot up the pythons. But it's a terrible problem. You can't.
Yeah, it's not
going to
be a problem here.
Like
this python that was in Schenectady County's nature preserve will not survive, according to all the experts.
The
weather here will just kill it.
I don't go to the Everglades anymore, and I used to love it.
So. I've been there on an airboat. I didn't see.
Were you really?
Oh yeah, last year.
I'll be darned.
Florida. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I can't see you on an airboat in the Everglades.
Well, I was there.
Trying to picture it. It's not coming forth.
Well, you know, the thing is, Ray, that I don't think they think of me as a...
An outdoorsman?
Outdoorsman? I don't think the alligators see me as a potential meal.
Yeah.
You look like a potato chip to us.
Yeah, you're
a little
You're more of a lunchable,
so,
I think.
You know, somebody else who was in that airboat might be much more tempting.
Okay, so let's go to the next news item
before
personal invective begins to fly here on the roundtable at 9:41. From the Washington Post yesterday, Supreme Court strikes down Florida law on intellectually disabled death row inmates. This, again, from the Washington Post. The Supreme Court gave greater protection Tuesday to death row inmates seeking to prove they should not be executed because they are intellectually disabled, and it ruled that laws such as those in Florida and Virginia are too rigid. The court ruled 5-4 that state laws that draw a bright line on IQ test results are unconstitutional. Now, under those laws, an inmate who scores above 70 on the test does not meet the first step of proving that he or she is intellectually disabled and thus ineligible for the death penalty. Florida, Virginia, and Kentucky have such laws. A handful of other states have similar rules. Rosemary first.
Well, if you're not going to eliminate the death penalty altogether, which would be my preference and that of many, then to have lots and lots of rules and restrictions is the next best thing. This is obviously a good ruling in my view. People who don't know really what's going on around them, it is cruel and unusual to kill them. Children, I don't think, should be subjected to the death penalty, yet we do in some places in this country. And good. More. I want more like this.
So just for the sake of discussion, because I'm pretty well with you on your views, you have a child, you have children, and some guy comes up and kills your child.
I would want him drawn and quartered, which is why a good legal system such as ours separates the people who are hurt by a crime from the people who decide how to punish a crime.
But what has happened is somebody has been killed, and the somebody who did the killing is walking around. Now, I happen to be opposed to the death penalty, too. But if, in fact, you're going to start making these distinctions that if a police officer is killed, then it's subject to the death penalty. If it's somebody else, they are not subject to the death penalty. Seems to me it gets pretty confusing afterwards.
Yeah, that which is why we should just abolish the death penalty. That would be the most fair. But if you are indeed going to make classes, okay, that's another one of these rules that I think are the next best thing.
You just
and
used the word.
And policemen and judges, and I actually think journalists should be in the group. You should. It's a special crime to kill somebody like that, where it's their work you're trying to stop, where you're trying to stop the public from finding out or being protected. So I do understand the logic of that law. Some people are different than others.
With all due respect to our learned panel, this, I believe, has much more to do with the Supreme Court and states' rights than the death penalty is okay or not okay. And I'll just quote here before throwing it to you, Mike, from the Washington Post. Justice Samuel Alito, writing for the dissenters, said Kennedy's reliance on the medical community's view on how to consider the IQ tests rather than leaving it to states was a, quote, sea change in the court's approach. What counts are our society's standards, which is to say the standards of the American people, not the standards of professional associations, which at best represent the views of a small professional elite, Alito wrote. State officials, too, said the justices continue to place additional hurdles in the way of enforcing the death penalty. And this is a quote by David B. Albo, chairman of the House Courts of Justice Committee in Virginia. He says, first of all, they shouldn't be sticking their nose into Virginia criminal law. The people get to decide what's illegal in Virginia. So, issue here.
In other words, Justice Alito is assailing the fact that the court is listening to people who are experts or independent rather than listening to the anger of the people. I think that echoes what Rosemary was saying. We have a society where we don't let the people who are the immediate victims or the caught up in the crime make all the decisions about something. We try to get above it and make smart decisions. And that's what Justice Kennedy said they were doing in his majority report. So Justice Alito's opinion that we should just leave this to the standards of the people is scary because those standards change all the time. And you know,
but lawmakers, not the people, but the duly elected lawmakers of the state, right?
Well, they set the laws on the state level for things like the death penalty. And Justice Alito would like to leave it up to them. But the lawmakers and the courts, I think, in determining whether this is cruel and unusual punishment, should be listening to the medical experts and to psychologists and studying whether somebody who scores just barely above 70 on an IQ test is, therefore, we can go ahead and execute him because he's smart enough.
But again, grander scheme of things, shouldn't those medical professionals, according to Alito, be taking that to the state governments and not to the Supreme Court? In other words, is the Supreme Court once again going too far into
states' rights. Well, I mean, it's interesting what the Supreme Court, this current Supreme Court, thinks about states' rights. You know, we've seen them elections. They used to be the purview of the states too, and our Supreme Court has had no trouble in modern times stomping all over that states' rights. When it's an issue that they care about, they are all over it. So no, I think that's kind of bogus.
So actually, double standards abound in your
estimation. Well, when the states do something that does not meet the test of constitutionality, it's up to the Supreme Court to step in and correct it.
Yeah, but the great tension in the United States in a concept which we enjoy here called dual sovereignty. People forget about it, meaning that the states have sovereignty and the feds have sovereignty. And we know that it's all a joke because ever since John Marshall and before him, this has been worked out so that in the end, the feds have the supremacy. And every once in a while, when it's convenient, we return to this business.
Well, marriage, I guess, is the other big one. Elections and marriage. The Supreme Court has definitely taken over, as you say, the federal jurisdiction.
Sure, but I think you're right, Rosemary. You know, when it's convenient. We know where they want to go, and then they find a reason for going there.
All right. I want to remind everybody that somewhere around 10:10, perhaps earlier, perhaps later, depending on President Obama's whim, we'll be taking special coverage of the president's address at West Point today live here on WAMC. We'll work it all out. We'll get the schedule worked out. And we'll also have an update in about 6 or 7 minutes on our lockbox. And the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org if you want to weigh in. Now, listen, journalists, all on the panel. I must throw this out there to you before we take a break. From the New York Times, Holder hints reporter may be spared jail in leak. Attorney General Eric H. Holder hinted Tuesday that the Justice Department might choose not to jail a New York Times reporter for defying a subpoena forcing him to discuss his confidential sources, even as the Obama administration continues to pursue the right to do so before the Supreme Court. Interesting.
Well, what did he say, hint? He didn't hint. He said to people, not on my watch. I'm not putting any reporter in jail.
As long as I'm Attorney General, no reporter who is doing his job is going to jail.
How can that be?
As long as I'm Attorney General.
Yeah, they say hint because they didn't name him specifically. Right. They didn't say Jim Risen.
But how can that be? If he is working for the Obama administration, how can he say that? Will the president call him on the carpet and say, you can't say that?
And, or did the president get on the telephone and say, get us out from under this thing?
I think that's exactly right.
Because we don't want this. This is not helpful to
get rid of this problem.
My 41% popularity.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy for this. This is the way it should have happened. Yeah. Risen does not deserve to go to jail. He did fabulous reporting. On the other hand, they are still fighting for the right to the president to send a reporter to jail for doing his job. I'm not going to do it now, but I have the right to do it. That gives me pause
as well.
You still
have the club you're holding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need a national shield law that protects journalists.
Absolutely.
Will we get
this kind of reporting? I don't see it.
Well, it's going to be difficult. There was, Chuck Schumer was backing one that was getting some traction in the Senate. But, you know, the House just probably isn't going to jump on it right away.
No, not those guys.
No.
Right. All right. Assembly backs use of marijuana for illnesses. This is from... this is a New York State story.
Yes. It's going to happen.
So this is the fifth time in 7 years the Assembly said, smoke up. However,
smoke up.
It has not happened. It doesn't really get beyond the Senate. Alan, this is in your sphere of
Well, not really. What happens in this case is that you have now a Senate which should be Democratic in terms of the numbers of Democrats sitting in the Senate. We know that the governor of New York has assisted, at very least, in keeping it Republican by sort of doing a number of things. And if that governor said to the Jeff Klein gang of the IDC, the Democrats who went over to the Republicans, we want this plus the Democrats who sit in the Senate, you'd have it. This time they could really have it.
Is right. One of the members of the independent Democrats in the Senate, and she's backing this. But
sure. She thinks it's going to go through, too.
Yeah, but
are you surprised at how actually easily it seems to be going through this time?
I'm not so sure that, the Republican leader, Dean Skelos, is going to put it up for a vote. If it doesn't have an up-and-down vote and the session ends, it's not going to happen.
You may remember when the Democrats, some call them the traitors, went over to the other side, they said, one, Klein was going to be the leader for 2 weeks, and then the other guy was going to be the leader, Skelos, the Republican's going to be the leader, but it hasn't worked out that way.
Not really.
And even if it makes it through the Senate, unclear what Governor Cuomo will do.
He wanted a much lesser program, a much more controlled and limited program. So it will be interesting if it does get passed, if he would exercise his veto.
I'm sure they're out there polling. The governor's people are out there polling.
Right. What does the public want?
All right. Mike Spain must touch on this story before we take our break and then get our update. Great headline. It's as if Bruno never left.
Yeah. Last night in the town of Brunswick, which is the town in Rensselaer County where the former state Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno lives, he sort of came back. He made his comeback. It was like a coming out party. He spoke at a meeting at a local firehouse that was an anti-New York Safe Act rally. About 300 people were there. The 85-year-old Bruno was greeted warmly. He looked like he was in his element. He spoke eloquently about his experience going through a trial, a federal trial that that forced him to resign his office 6 years ago, and how he, had one trial, and then that the guilty verdict was overturned, et cetera, and then he just won an acquittal a couple of weeks ago in U.S. District Court in Albany, and now he's getting back into lobbying. I mean, that was what he could do after he left office, and he's now had enough time go by, and you're probably going to hear of him and see him around the Capitol. He's got a good, clean bill of health from the doctors who were treating him for cancer in New York City, and he seems hearty and ready. So,
how much lobbying can you do at 85?
Well,
a lot.
I think you can do a lot. He's got a lot of weight.
We know that D'Amato picked up a telephone once. You remember the famous telephone call? And he got $50,000 for one telephone call? Or was it $500,000? I don't remember. $50,000 for a single telephone call? You can get a lot done in a single telephone call.
Yeah, a lot of people will take the call from Joe Bruno.
Yeah, and I have to say something, and that is, I've known him for a long time. I've always liked him. He's quite a character. I think even the people who have done the major exposés on him sort of like him. I like him. And it's disappointing to see his injection into the gun control thing. You see these kids being wiped out and everything else. You know, what could he, as Christine Lavin, the great songwriter, once said, what could he be thinking?
Well, we'll have to leave that. We'll have to leave that for another segment of the roundtable panel, perhaps tomorrow or otherwise. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. We'll take a break, and then it's Lockbox.
Support for WAMC comes from Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs and Colony, New York. Purchasing estate jewelry, coins, silver, period antiques, fine arts and collections, marklawson.com. Washington County Tourism, announcing music, museums, arts, nature, wine, opera, theater, farmers markets, and more, washingtonnycounty.com. Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, for container gardens, tropicals, perennials, patio tomatoes, plus new varieties of supertunias, verbena, and geraniums, wardsnursery.com. And Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, featuring LED cavity detection, digital x-rays, and Velscope oral cancer screening, PadulaDDS.com.
Roundtable on WAMC. 9:55 is the time, and all the lockbox. Oh boy, it's going well. Now we got to reach 325K by June 2nd. By the way, that's Monday. That's the beginning of our on-air fun drive. Megan Finnegan is here, who is the director of something. I'm not exact. What are you the director of?
The membership director.
You're the membership director, and nice to have you here. How are we doing?
We are doing excellent, actually. We're all the way up to $261,813.
How much does that mean we need, Megan?
We only need $63,187 to make it.
Well, you say only. I'm truly, I don't mean to be critical here, but I'm scared to death. I really am. You know, $63,000 is a lot of money. And if we don't get that $63,000, then we risk the $25,000, which we do not have, from Mr. Big, who wanted to incentivize everybody to get out there and do it. So unlike Megan, I don't think I'm scared. I'm really scared.
Well, I'm scared too, Alan. 25 would be terrible to lose, but I really think we can do it because it's picking up every day. More and more people are pledging, and we're sending a lot of those beautiful personalized mugs out the door. People are coming through online. They're calling in.
Do you ever see an election which was lost by one crucial vote? One vote. I've seen them. One vote election. So if you're sitting there and thinking about it, you know, I know I should do this. Alan's asking me to do it. Megan's asking me to do it. Ray's asking me to do it. We should do this. But I have to chop the carrots now. No, come on. We really do need
chop the carrots?
Yeah. Chop the carrots.
It's a euphemism. You don't want to know, really, actually.
It is not a euphemism.
Oh, it's not?
No,
okay.
It's just carrot and chopping it, you know.
Fine. Okay, so how does one do that? If one is done chopping one's carrot,
one can go online to wamc.org and pledge online. That's how a lot of people do it.
Okay.
But you can also call the great 800 number that we have. Everybody knows it, 800-323-9262. And actually, you can just call that number. We have so many people calling right now that
people
we can't even give
by,
you an extension.
Eh?
So there's stuff that you can get. If you go to the website and you want to feed the lockbox prior to our fun drive and help us meet that goal, you can get some stuff. Not the primary reason we're doing this,
no.
But there's some neat stuff. Yeah.
Well, the personalized mug is pretty neat. And a lot of
what
people...
What is that?
Well, it's the WAMC mug. You can get your own name on it. You can get your friend's name on
you
it.
You get your son's name on it, your daughter's name on it, and 2 weeks later they'll be married.
Yep.
Do you know what the most popular name is?
No, I haven't really done that.
It is not Sheldon E. It's Noah. I'm telling you, it's the number one name in America. I'm not making it up. But, you know,
Can you find out for
don't
tomorrow?
Don't tell my carrots.
I can.
What the most popular name is thus far on the personalized mugs?
I certainly can.
All right. Is that all you got?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of other great stuff that you could get. T-shirts, hats, all sorts of things.
We have about 45 seconds to fill, and I thought...
Oh, here are the mugs.
Here's a mug.
The mugs are visiting.
Yeah, and here comes Felicia Burke, our Fun Drive director, and she's holding a mug. If you're watching at WAMC.org on our live video stream, there's one that says Fred and one that says Michael Mason.
Those are very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Very lovely. Very lovely. Yep.
They're beautiful.
And it's nice to see the name Fred. There's a name that has fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, you don't see many new Freds and new Allens.
Not as popular as Noah.
They have a mango strut parade every year.
I beg your pardon?
They have the marching Freds in this parade in Miami every year.
I'll be darned.
Yeah,
marching who knew? Freds.
Ray will be darned.
That's why I'm here.
Well, listen.
Come again.
Megan Finnegan and Felicia Burke, wonderful, 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 as Lawrence Welk once said. WAMC.org, the lockbox. You have your work cut out for you, 60-some-odd thousand to go by Monday.
Come on, guys.
Yep.
Get her done.
Five days to go.
It's so important that for both of you, without saying anything, that we make this.
Oh, boy, that's a veiled threat.
Oh,
Mike Spain of the Times Union, you're all done.
I'm all done.
You made it. Rosemary Armeo, thank you.
You're welcome.
Everybody has a scowl. Alan?
Ferrets. Ferrets ought to be legalized in New York State. Ferrets.
And on that happy note, we leave you.